Fighting continued outside the Liberian capital of Monrovia over the weekend as President Charles Taylor prepares to step down from office and cede control to his vice president, Moses Blah. If Taylor actually does give up his job as promised, he is expected to take up exile in Nigeria. Italian journalist Riccardo Orizio is the author of Talk of the Devil, a collection of interviews he conducted with seven exiled dictators, including Jean-Claude Baby Doc Duvalier of Haiti and Uganda's Idi Amin. We contacted Orizio at his home in Kenya, and he noticed at least one common feature in all the men he profiled.
They all feel betrayed by those powers that put them in a situation of leadership, that used them, and then decided to throw them away. Jean Bedel Bokassa, the self-proclaimed emperor of Central Africa, feels betrayed by France. He says, I've been a French officer in the army. I even fought against the German Nazis during the Second World War. I was put in the position of leadership within my country by the French, and Giscard d'Estaing, the former French president, used to call me my dear cousin. And all of a sudden, when I became not useful anymore, they started to describe me as a monster.
The dictators that you interviewed, they retained no influence at all?
Well, it sounds incredible, but in some of their countries, their names have been sometimes, you know, if not forgiven, in some cases forgotten. You know, the time span of the public opinion is very, very short. I wouldn't be surprised if in 10 years' time, a lot of people, maybe the young Iraqi generations, would really find difficult to remember the rise and fall of Saddam Hussein.
Why do you think exile often is the preferred solution for getting rid of a deposed national leader?
Because it's the easiest way to get rid of the problem. Or we in the West tend to think that an awful situation is sometimes the result of an awful man. And in order to get rid of the awful situation, you simply get rid of the awful man. Then you realize that it is not necessarily true that the situation within the country improves. This is what happened in Haiti with the Duvalier dynasty. I found it extremely difficult to answer the question that Duvalier Jr. asked me, which is the following. Are you sure that Haiti today is better than it was under us? And in order not to give him satisfaction with an answer that he wanted, I prefer not to answer it. But inside myself, I know that, you know, he's right.
Why do dictators actually accept exile? I mean, this need for control, this idea of absolute power seems to be characteristic of these people. How do they justify exile to themselves?
For some of them, it's a temporary situation. Idi Amin of Uganda is in Saudi Arabia since 1980, and he's been there as a guest of the Saudi royal family on a prolonged pilgrimage to the holy sites of Islam. So many of them still believe that there is a possibility for a comeback. You know, these people are incredibly skilled in the art of denial. They, until the very last moment, they find difficult or impossible to accept a situation that is completely changed.
Have you noticed similarities between the Charles Taylor situation in Liberia and any of the other exile leaders that you've interviewed?
Taylor is similar to the dictators I met because for a little while he's been regarded by the West as an element of stability, as a bad guy you can do business with. You know, international diplomacy is not based on moral values. It's based exclusively on pragmatic values. In the case of Charles Taylor, as with Bokassa, Idi Amin, Mengistu, all of them, the criteria that the external world applied to them has never been, is it good or is it bad? So even Charles Taylor, the former guerrilla leader, corrupt and inefficient statesman, has been useful for a little while, and now it's time to get rid of him.
Riccardo Orizio is the author of Talk of the Devil, Encounters with Seven Dictators, published by Walker & Company. Mr. Orizio joined us from his home in Kenya. Thank you very much.
Thank you.